Our first reading this morning is from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who also have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we hoped in Christ, we of all people are most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
He came down with them and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who will weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, an engineer called to finally install our television connection in the vicarage. We could now resume our favourite programmes and avid viewing of the BBC News at 6 and 10. We had experienced a bit of respite from the current political climate and world news. We kept up with coverage in the press, but somehow it was less visual and invasive. I realised that the business of settling into the area no connection and a weak signal, we had had for a while freed ourselves up from the pressures in Westminster and our current concern for this country's future. My sister confessed to being exasperated one day as she threw aside the newspaper she was reading, declaring that she could find no hope or good news in its content. On hearing this, her young son grabbed the paper and scanned the pages for the next 15 minutes. Eventually, he proclaimed with triumph, "I've found some good news, Mum. Specsavers are selling glasses. Buy one, get one free." The optimism of youth. Hope is restored. Well, hope is initially lacking and indeed is restored in our readings this morning. Restored in the crowds that the prophet Jeremiah addressed in our Old Testament reading, and restored in the gathering crowds flocking to hear Jesus. In Luke's gospel, an audience gather desperate for renewal and for hope in a sometimes volatile political and oppressive living situation. And in our epistle, we hear about the people being encouraged, enabled to convert to Christianity and build up the early church in Corinth. People searching for hope and guidance, but struggling with the concept of the resurrection. Jeremiah, Jesus, and Paul risk their lives to bring change and bring the people back in alignment with God. In the time of Jeremiah, after King Josiah's death, there was great tension amongst the people. And Jeremiah puts his reputation and his life at risk by denouncing the nation's sin and by giving a warning to those who rejected God. And God's curse on them and those who trust only in themselves. He warns them of God's punishment. But there is also hope in this message. He also announces God's blessing on those who do trust in God. And God will search hearts and reward according to the people's behavior. There is hope even in our current life and situation today. Even though the world may seem in disarray and the world seems to have lost its sense of worth, its goodness and direction in parts. It tosses plastic into the sea, we daily hear. Our hope is that God still works for the good in this world, still works in our lives. His Son still turns the values of the world and works in our lives and turns us and its values upside down. We hear in Luke's Gospel about the Sermon on the Plain this morning, words similar in Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. But this time, Jesus steps down to the people. He places himself amongst and alongside the brokenhearted, has eye contact with those who are hurting and feel rejected, the destitute, the hopeless. And Jesus affirms that there is hope for them. He shakes up all the injustices of the world. Listen, he says, the poor will be rich, the hungry will be well fed, the grieving one day will smile again. And there were others in the crowds that day, listening in, just lingering behind the hurting people, standing there, assessing Jesus, weighing him up. These were the popular, happy with their lot crowd, the contented and the powerful. For these people, after today, things were going to be different. We have heard there are four blessings mentioned and now four curses. The rich and fully satisfied may not be so contented with their lot. That day, there was one sermon preached and one crowd gathered. However, there was no doubt there would be a mixture of responses to Jesus' word. The hurting and the hungry would be filled with hope and spiritually lifted. assured of God's blessing. The well-fed, the rich, now feeling uncomfortable and anxious about their future. We run a risk, we clergy and readers. We preach one sermon once on a Sunday morning. And a theologian once advised the preacher, we are responsible for what we say, but we are not responsible for what people hear. What I hope we hear this morning is that Jesus touching the lives of the humble. The good news and core of our message is, you are blessed because the Saviour loves you. Hear that, if nothing else, and that will be enough. You may have noticed, if you've read ahead, that our last hymn to be sung today is Thine Be the Glory, Risen, Conquering Son. A good Easter hymn as we celebrate Christ's resurrection. Because every Sunday is Easter Sunday. Not only celebrating the many blessings Jesus bestows upon us, but also reaffirming our core belief as Christians in that Jesus rose from the dead. Endless is that victory. Paul emphasizes to the church in Corinth that the resurrection is the essential importance for Christian belief. The opponents to the church in Corinth struggle with this. They say dead men do not rise. Paul explains that to take up this view destroys our Christian faith. The resurrection proves that truth is stronger than falsehood, that love is stronger than hate, that good is stronger than evil, that life is stronger than death. Forgive me for returning to my television viewing again, but I love a debate program. And St. Paul was a great debater. And he is out to quash rumors in Corinth and argue that Jesus is alive. He himself has turned his back on his old life, his academic, his privileged, high-ranking status, to risk his life to preach the resurrection. It underpins everything that Paul has to say. If Christ is not raised, you are still in your sin. Faith is therefore futile. My passion is also detective stories. Lewis, Vera, and dare I say, Midsummer Murders, though I'm glad I didn't find a placement there. The evidence is gathered, and piece by piece, the mystery solved by diverse witness accounts, and proof is gathered. I need not stress. There are reliable sources supporting the resurrection. An empty tomb, a grieving mother, endless diverse witnesses who saw Jesus during the 40 days until his ascension. Numerous biblical accounts and records, biblical texts. The newfound courage of the disciples who were weakened men at that time. But mostly, the living Christ in us today. Interacting daily in our thoughts and in our lives, instilling hope. As crazy as this country and world may appear at this moment in time, hope in the resurrection is hope in our resurrection too. Though Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb, lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Amen. Please sit or kneel for our prayers. In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Father, we bring to mind your church, both here in London Colney and throughout the world. May we discern your will for us, the direction we must go, the bridges we may cross over. It is for right values and right priorities that we pray in all we decide and do. Lord, in your mercy, we bring to mind all that lead and govern, and all meetings where important decisions are made. We pray that justice and mercy are upheld in line with your loving will. Pray, Heavenly Father, for parts of the world in darkness and shadow at this time. Pray that you hold this world in your gentle, loving arms. And refreshment and renewal, Lord, will take place in those places of darkness. Lord, in your mercy. And we bring to mind our community, our circle of family and friends, with whom we share the good and difficult times. We discern for the grace to discern more readily the good in each other and the gifts that we each have to offer. Lord, in your mercy, we bring, Heavenly Father, to mind those caught up in the frenetic pressures of life, those who are stressed and at breaking point or unwell. We pray for insight and courage to change things. We pray, Lord, that we are effective in our outreach to those people in need support at this time. And we pray at this time for Angela and Jessica, Alison, Beryl, Gemma, Ellie, Christina, Phyllis, Lynn, Rondell, Peter, Nola and Natasha, Margaret and Cameron, Steve and Paul, Carol, Marjorie, Lenny, Pauline, James, Linda, Gary, and Bob, and Christy. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we bring to mind the dying, especially those who are alone. And we remember those we know who have died. Christina Creech. May they and we share in the lasting and ever joy of your presence. And we pray for those whose anniversary of their death occurs around this time, remembering Edward Bentley and his family, Roland Davies, Lee Wilshire, and James Wilshire. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Father, for all your wise teaching you have given us through Christ. Give us grace to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.